The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
And welcome to episode 3. I'm so glad you're with me today. This is Andrew Horowitz, and I am the host here at the Disciplined Investor Podcast. And you know, wherever you are, and really kind of whatever the date is that you're listening to this actual episode, the good news is that we're going to have a lot of things to talk about today that cover the areas of specific finances and things that are happening in the markets right now. And we'll also talk about some things that are rather timeless, some things that you really should understand about investments. We're going to talk about shorting stocks. We're also going to talk about something that I really believe is one of the most important issues when it comes to owning an investment, and that is when to sell. What makes a good time to just get out? When should I just bail and say, you know what, I'm done here? What are the things that really emotionally I should be aware of when I'm at that point? So we'll talk about a whole bunch of things that are really related, again, to your investment specifically. And I often get questions about, really what's the best thing to invest in right now in the economic climate. So we'll go through that too. So you know what we do here. And if you don't, here's what we do. We talk about just a variety of different investments on this podcast. You can also, of course, take a look at thedisciplinedinvestor.com for the book. I'm told that the book, which has been in the writing phase for some time, is finally going to be actually published, actually written and printed and done in the middle of April. So we've been waiting on that for the last 3 months because we've been told that for some time. But there seems to be a lot of perfectionists that are working at my publishing house that want to just make sure that everything is absolutely perfect. And what they've done is they push back the release to April. And from then, you'll see it in all major bookstores and all around online, etc. So I hope you do pick up a copy of The Disciplined Investor. If you do want to see a sneak peek at some of the chapters of The Disciplined Investor, you can go to that website, which is thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and download your copy of some of the key chapters. They're in PDF format. So take a ride over there and check it out. The other thing that I want to ask you a favor, if I may. If you do like the show and you get something out of it, I ask you that you just take a moment and maybe refer it to a friend. Tell somebody about it. Because the only way that we really get around on this great big thing we call the internet is by referrals. Sure, there's search engines and there's iTunes and there's Podcast Pickle and Podcast Alley and all these wonderful places that promote this kind of show. But the best referral is always by someone who has gotten something out of it. So if you can just take the moment and refer a friend, either through our website, through the blog site, send them an email to us with somebody that you want to be on the subscription list, which is, of course, free, or just send them an email saying, hey, I checked out this thing. Why don't you go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com, go to their blog site, and take a look at their podcast. I think that you'll really enjoy it. So with that in mind, I am going to start this discussion today with a kind of a defensive discussion of what we can be doing now, because obviously the last 2 weeks in this stock market has been nothing but ugly. We have seen horrendous dropouts in an intraday basis, which we talked about already, in the nature of 500 to 600 points, and then another day with 250 points. We see the Fed opening their discussions to possibly reducing rates, and we hear all sorts of discussions about the subprime area. And really, I think it's a very, very good time to regroup a little bit and talk about a short strategy. The first thing is, what is a short strategy? Most people really don't understand this, and I want you to take a moment to forget everything that you know. I mean, just really take a step back and forget about everything that you know about stocks and buying stocks, mutual funds, options, real estate. And just for a moment, let's talk about shorting stocks, shorting of ETFs. When we talk about the idea of shorting a stock, what we talk about is selling the stock before we buy it. Now, if you're saying to yourself, well, how do you do that? That doesn't sound logical. You didn't do what I first asked you, is to forget everything you know. Because when you short a stock, what actually happens is that you are going to be selling the stock and actually receiving money into your account before you actually buy it. Because the rules state simply that to have a complete position, a transaction with the stock, there's going to one day be a buy and one day be a sell. Well, with a shorting position or a shorting transaction, the sale is actually, and the buy is reversed. And we could do this through the use of margin at a brokerage account. And in order to do so, what we're really looking to accomplish is for the stock to go down. Because essentially, here's the key. If we want a stock to be profitable, we have to buy it at a certain price, let's say a dollar, and eventually sell it at something higher, which is maybe $2. Now, whether we do that in a sequence of buying and then selling, or whether we do that in a sequence of selling and buying, the fact is that we want our buy always to be less than the sell. So therefore, when we short stocks, we're looking for the stock to move down in value because when we buy it back, we want to buy it for less than we shorted it. Well, I may have totally thoroughly confused you right now, but simply said, here we go. If you want a stock to be profitable from a price decline, so if you think a stock isn't going to do well, then what you do is you can short it. Sure, you could also do things like you can buy a put option on the option. You could maybe do a selling of a call option on a stock, and either the put when you buy it or you sell the call, there's a time limit on it. The difference is that when you short a stock, again, sell it before you buy it, there is no time limit. So therefore, you don't have that risk involved in the transaction. So if you have that in mind and you have that straight, how do you do that? Well, first of all, you can do it through individual stocks. You could also do it through mutual funds, because essentially, if you want to look at a mutual fund from the perspective of making money when it goes down, there are plenty of fund families like Profunds and RIDEX and several others that have negatively correlated, or these mutual funds that actually will go down, like the RIDEX fund family has a group that will actually go down. There's the bear fund, there's the Profunds has their ultra short funds, and they will actually go down in direct correlation or maybe a multiple of that of the stock market, and then you can profit. So it's a great way to maybe hedge your portfolio a little bit. There's other funds that we really prefer, like market neutral funds. One of them, my favorite, is the Gateway Fund, as an example, that will actually really be very, very hedged, because what they do is they do a huge short or an option on the S&P 500. So therefore, you really don't see the volatility on the downside. But when we short a stock, really, that's where they get the greatest bang for the buck, if in fact the stock just falls out of bed. And what we've seen lately is when earnings are coming up short, or there's a negative announcement of some type of a management change, or there really is something that is significantly different with the stock, really, that is confusing investors. They don't only fall, they just do a free fall and drop out. Well, a couple of podcasts ago, and I believe on our blog, we talked recently about something that's been bothering me. Something's been bothering me about eBay, because I've been really picking up a few new items in the news. I've been personally involved in an international scam that didn't cost me any money, fortunately, but it still was something that really started troubling me. And I'll give you an update on that international scam, by the way, if you listen to my, I believe it was episode one. The international scam did not cost me any money, but when I did put that laptop back up again for bid, you know what? The same thing happened with another party. They tried to buy it from me. They tried to send me false PayPal receipts and tried to get me to log in and pay the money. They wanted me to send it before I was paid the money, because it was supposedly being held in like an escrow account. Well, my concern with the eBay is these international scam artists are really starting to focus in on this company. And inevitably, my real understanding about eBay is that it's not only a good place to buy and sell, but it's really built on the fundamental of trust. Because if you don't have trust, if you don't have trust in the system, much less the person on the other side, but if you don't have trust in the system itself on how there is a real good feeling that this whole transaction is going to be one that is going to be very clean and clear to you, you're not going to use it. If I tell you, I'm at a point that if something happens with this laptop again, I'm not even going to go near it, because I just can't be bothered with it. It's more of an inconvenience than just, you know what, putting it in a newspaper and selling it that way. So I think that eBay is really potentially going to have some problems because, number one, it has that. Number two, eBay is still in the consumer area, and consumers are really starting to slow up on their buying with this whole housing crunch. Now, yes, there may be some more sellers out there because they're looking to make some money to pay off some of their bills, et cetera, in this economic slowdown that we have forthcoming. But at the same time, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have to drop their prices. When you drop the prices, eBay makes less money. The other thing is, let's talk from a stock standpoint. Currently, as of this podcast, which is happening and being recorded in the third week of March of 2007, eBay is currently riding its 10 and 200-day moving average, its EMA, of about $3,150. The resistance on the top line is about $34. Now, here's the thing. It's held its support through the bad markets of the last few weeks at about $30 per share, which happens to be a significant support line overall from a Fibonacci retracement standpoint, as well as just a overall price support level. If it does breach this $30 point, we could see this moving down very quickly to about $27, $26.50 per share. It's low overall was last August at about $22.70 per share. But as I see it, unless eBay comes up with a substantial number on its next earnings, we can see about a 15% reduction potential in the overall price of eBay, down to about the 25, 26 or so share price. So if you consider looking at it as a short, probably under about $32 per share, I think that you're going to see some really decent returns on the downside. And if nothing else, it helps you hedge your portfolio in a smart way. Now, obviously, you know, you have to make up your own decision if it's appropriate for your investments. But as I see it, eBay could have some real problems, and we've been starting to short it for our clients and for our accounts overall. I will tell you that you need to be careful that because if it does break through on a significant upside of, maybe an earnings announcement surprise or possibly some other real amazing thing like a buyout, you got to be careful, which, by the way, I don't think that's going to happen, of course, but you got to be careful above the 34. So if you're getting in on the short, somewhere in about the 31 or 32 area, if it goes up above about 34, you need to think about covering your position and moving out because it could go up much further from there. So again, I think the downside is much greater when it comes to eBay, but yet at the same time, you may want to think about, taking an opportunity here to do so. And we're going to be back in 30 seconds. Listen to this and just hold on. We got some good things coming up in the area of Dell computers. I'm going to tell you about the opposite side and something interesting I think is happening there. So hang on. We'll be right back at The Disciplined Investor.
Did you know that you can receive regular updates on finance, stocks, funds, and other investment ideas? Just go to thedisciplinedinvestor.com/blog and subscribe.
Hey, welcome back. This is Andrew Horowitz, and I am so happy that you're with me today on this podcast of The Disciplined Investor, Episode 3. We're moving right along. You know, our blog has been getting some great hits, some really nice reviews. If you haven't been there, I update that quite often with many of my ideas, much more frequently, obviously, because they're coming out all the time with all sorts of things related to the market, financial planning, etc. And that's what we're trying to do here on the podcast, you know, just bring you some really good ideas that you can use. Hopefully you'll spread the word, you know, hopefully you'll buy the book one day. Hopefully, who knows, you'll even be a client one day. But in the end, you know, the good news is that I'm here to help you. Send me an email at askandrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com. I'll be happy to put it on the air during our mailbag segment, which is coming up actually in the next podcast. We're going to have answers to many of the questions that have been sent in to this podcast at askandrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com or go to the Disciplined Investor website, which is, of course, thedisciplinedinvestor.com/blog. And there is a mailbox area, which you could just submit a question. So I told you a moment ago about a stock that I'm not liking so much because of some negative things that are happening. I'm going to tell you something much different, much to the contrary. I'm going to tell you about a stock that I think is becoming very interesting. Dell Computers. Now, Dell Computers is not in the good graces of many analysts. It's really not in the spotlight for the, wow, that is something we need to be looking at. That is just, wow, you know, I mean, back up the truck. It's not there. The concern has been that where's the growth? The concern has been, look at that price. The concern has been, what's new? This competition, what are you doing? And all that's just changed. January 31st, I don't know if you saw any news to this, but Back in the saddle, Michael Dell. He came back and Kevin Rollins is now out. And what I have found very simply is that when we see something like this, when we see this kind of move from the area of having a CEO with their name on the marquee, if you will, come back, there's some amazing things that will happen. Yeah, sure, let's talk about the negatives first. Let's talk about the fact that the PC business has been commoditized. Excuse me. We see competition all over the place. Competition from Apple, which is obviously non-PC. Competition from HP, which has really taken the notebook market by storm. Competition by every major brand out there that has some kind of computer for sale. Whereas Dell was the only one that was direct to consumer for the longest time and really broke the backs of all the other computer companies. Really, it's not so exciting anymore compared to what it was. There's nothing new happening. Business is not great. There's been no reason to really upgrade for some time now. And the stock has been struggling. You know, January 1st of this year, it was about $25.50 a share. Now it's $22.50. In March of 2005, a year ago, it was $30 a share. Fundamentally, yes, there has been changes. Technically, sure, absolutely. Market-wise, economically, I also say there's been some change in this area. But what happened? I mean, what happened to this stock, which was the darling of Wall Street for so many years? I mean, this back in the 2000s, obviously, with everything else, was going to, you know, supposedly we're going to have 20 computers per person. I don't know about you. I mean, I do have close to that, but I'm a techie. We have also, obviously, a company that has that. But, you know, and all my kids have it. And I'm sure the same thing in your household and your business. But at the same time, Dell is a great brand, but there are other alternatives. From a stock standpoint, there's been margin compression now, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of, while on their $57 billion of sales, there's only about a 4.5% net margin ratio. Growth has stopped. It was about 30%. Now, year over year, it's actually negative. Sales growth on the overall industry in the computer industry and the hardware is about 12%, and they're only maybe at 5% at best. Their net income growth is negative 24% year over year. And historically, listen to this, their PE in 2000 was 69, obviously a little bit crazy with all the markets. Price to sales was 4, price to book about 18. These are some of the things, by the way, we talk about in the Disciplined Investor book. We have chapters specifically on each of these disciplines, technical analysis, and we're talking about fundamental analysis right now, talking about the balance sheet issues. We're talking about all the things related to cash flow and ratios. These are the things that I have spent a lot of time really honing in on and giving you very specific understanding and talking about these disciplines, because these are the things that make for a good stock investor. But we look at all these things and we look at the profit margin back in 2000 at their high, about 7%. But today the PE is 21, a third of what it was. Price to sales is horrible. The profit margin is only 4.5%. Well, what we saw is this interesting thing that happened back about a year ago. Michael Dell all of a sudden started buying shares into the company at about $24 a share. He started buying. He bought almost 3 million shares, about $70 million plus dollars worth of Dell shares, probably in anticipation that there was a lot of discussion going on with Rollins about maybe stepping aside and Michael Dell coming back. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. You know, this was not Rollins' computer, right? This is Dell computer. His name is on it. And what we've seen historically is when we see a CEO step back into the scene when his name has been on a company, and we see the stock usually seemingly tumble for some time because nobody does it as what they were doing. You can't really just pass that information along, no matter how much you try, no matter how much of a great management team. When you have a genius like Michael Dell at the lead there, innovation, when you have him really day-to-day handling all of the major management issues, it's a different situation. I am not really saying anything negative about Kevin Rollins, but at the same time, he's not Michael Dell. What we saw, the same thing happened was, I want you to think about this, was when Charles Schwab finally got tired of the stock struggling, the very bad business ventures that David Pottruck got involved in, who was the president and CEO, or the president at that time. When we saw the acquisitions just going horribly wrong, when we saw the stock struggling, Charles Schwab stepped back in as the lead CEO and leading the company back to its roots, and the stock went up dramatically. Cut the fat, cut the waste, changed it around back to its roots, and the turnaround was amazing. The same thing happened with Apple Computer. A little bit different, obviously, it's not Steve Jobs' computer, but at the same time, Steve Jobs, who was the brilliant entrepreneur that put together Apple Computer, that created what it was, and he stepped aside. Well, he was more like pushed aside rather than stepped aside. But he was pushed aside, and the company just struggled. They didn't have direction. It's kind of like a country without a president, you know, because the core of the company was behind this one man's idea. And when Steve Jobs stepped back in, and he did so also because Apple Computer, frankly, was really looking, it was looking bleak. It's hard to really think about that now, but it was not too long ago a horrible situation. He stepped in as interim CEO and turned around the company, brought it back to its roots of a hardware-based company with innovation, with incredible design, and really making it easy for people to use their product. And when all that happened, the stock turned around dramatically. So here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing Dell Computers as a turnaround story. And it's, I think it's a great time right now, exactly now, to start getting into it, because everybody is thinking that it's not. And oftentimes, on a contrarian basis, when we see something like this, we have a new driver. We have the not only a driver from the driver's seat, we have Michael Dell back, but we have drivers in the industry. We have the need for speed. We have Windows Vista that has to have a much greater level of computer firepower, if you will, to really work. And while the upgrade to Vista will be slow, in my opinion, and the opinion of Steve Ballmer from Microsoft, the fact of the matter is it will be eventual and it will happen. So you're going to have this need for speed, Vista, we're going to have new computers required. Gaming platforms are continuing to require more and more speed, and the PC platform continues to be the leader of the next generation games, and you look at their recent purchase, Dell's purchase of Alienware, which was a high-end gaming and really supercomputer for the massive geeks in us that want some real super speed. Alienware acquisition is going to be very accretive to them moving forward and really create some supercomputers that are going to handle that. And then the upgrade cycle, you know, the misstep that Dell made with AMD aside, when they started to utilize their product because they were the number one for a short period on the market, but now we have the upgrade cycle where people are looking and saying, you know what, I really do want to go to the next generation of Intel, which is the dual core processor. So when you look at those basic parameters from a driver standpoint, from the fact that the stock is at a relative low, when we look at the fact that when Dell bought it, it was 24, and currently, it's trading right about that level. I do not believe he's going to let it go much further down than that. He's got a lot at stake personally. Every dollar at this point cost him another $3 million just on those shares, not to mention the shares he has otherwise. Target on this, when you look at the overall technicals on this and when you look at the fundamentals on this, about $26.50 seems to be a reasonable number, next level target on Dell. And when it starts moving in the right direction, it will be fast, because today there are a tremendous amount of people that are shorting it, and those short sellers are going to move aside very quickly. The fact is that there's a lot of bets against Dell, and in my 20 years in this business, I've seen it day in and day out. When the short interest rises to levels that are unprecedented, the only thing that happens is that the stock ends up going up, because oftentimes the masses are just completely and unadulteratedly wrong. Just wrong. And you've seen it time in and time out, and you know what I'm talking about. When you think the stock market is just at an absolute low and it's only going lower and it's the worst thing that ever happens, what happens? It turns around immediately and usually goes right up and turns around. Same thing on the top. You say, my God, look at this real estate market. It's going to go to the moon. My house is going to be worth $5 million in 2 years. What happens? It ends up slowing down. Everything is cyclical. There is no linear equation here. It's all geometric when it comes to the stocks. There is no absolute direction. The only direction is that it is cyclical. Time horizons will change. The numbers will change. The ranges will change. But the one thing we know, that all things do change. And my bet is going to be on Michael Dell saying, this is my name in this company. I am putting my money back in this. And I'm going to turn this thing around to where it needs to be a lean, mean fighting machine. And Dell is definitely on my hit list. for moving forward, a great opportunity and a great buy at these low prices now at about the 22 area. You want to wait a little bit longer and you want to say, okay, maybe I'll think about buying it if it drops a little bit. Okay, fine. But I think there's a very reasonable number from a fundamental standpoint and with a price to book ratio or book value per share, I should say, at about 17, there's not much you can get lost here. Because the fact of the matter is the overall value of the parts of the company are worth about $17 a share. So it's not much further away from that at this point. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back for in a second. And what I'm going to talk to you about is this whole idea of, I think we all get stuck with this, by the way, the professionals and the amateurs, the home investors, and we get stuck with the whole idea of when do I sell? Should I hold this stock? It's hurt me. I don't know where it's going. What am I going to do? When should I sell the stock? And I have a two-minute discussion of when to sell it. And I think it's going to be a very clear one to you. And once you get it, it's going to be never a question again. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you a disciplined investor? Now you can be. Click on over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com and download your copy of the book that's going to change the way you think about investing. That's thedisciplinedinvestor.com.
Investments and the economy, funds and taxes, so much to know, so little time. How about a free copy of Investment Insights, the monthly newsletter from The Disciplined Investor? Go to thedisciplinedinvestor.com/blog, click on the mailbox page, and send us your information. It's that easy. That's thedisciplinedinvestor.com/blog, and click on the mailbox page for your free copy of Investment Insights.
Andrew Horowitz back on The Disciplined Investor. Remember that great movie? Well, maybe not such a great movie, but the movie The Gambler with Kenny Rogers. And there was a song that was a great song that he said, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Yeah, that is what we're going to talk about now. When to hold the stock and when to sell it. Probably one of the most difficult things from an investor standpoint, because a lot of times emotions get really caught up in the whole process. And when emotions get caught up in the process of investing, nothing good can come out of it. You have to be a rock and make decisions based on your best ability from financial, mathematical, as well as your view into the future from either an economic or a likelihood standpoint. So when you have a stock, let's take an example. I mean, how many times have we had a stock? Any of you out there, me, I mean, really just lost money maybe in one day, maybe over a period of time. Maybe it was start out, let's say we had 1,000 shares at $10. Now it's at $5. Whether, again, it happened overnight or over a period of time. Missed out on the sales. Wished I should have sold. Where is it now? It's 50% less, 60% less. Oh, I'm just going to hold on to it till eventually it comes back. But that is not the best way to do it. You know it, but the question is, how do you do it? What do I use in my decision-making process to ensure that I'm making the best decisions with my money? And all it is one simple question. All you have to do is ask one question. And that is, on this situation, when my stock is at $5 and now it's worth about $5,000, would I invest in this stock, that money, right now? If I had $5,000 today, would I put it into that stock? And very simply, if your answer is yes, you hold it. Maybe even buy some more. If the answer is no, you sell it immediately. The fact of the matter is that oftentimes what we want to do is get back at that stock. We say, you know what? That thing was $10. It's now $5. I'm getting back at that stock. But that's not what you're going to do. The stock doesn't care. It doesn't care about you. Trust me, the stock does not care about you. You are caring way too much about that stock. You always want to have your money, in my opinion, in the best positions that is out there for in the future. And if that stock is not the best for your future, get out of it. Again, we get caught up in this whole emotional, this emotional marriage to a stock, to a mutual fund. You know, just move out. If management has changed and the stock has gone down, what is going to be so different in the future? If you don't see anything in the future, again, that finds it to be the best place for your money, then get out. Always have your money in the best place that you can. And after all the research that you do, making sure that you understand everything that's out there about that stock, the simple question If I had $5,000, if I had $50,000, if I had $200, is this the best place for that money? Would I invest in it now? You will save yourself so much grief, because the fact is that if you are anything worth your salt in the investment area, you're hopefully finding the best investment. Sure, there's going to be some losers in there, but you got to be able to not only find your investments that are going to go up, but you need to cut your losses, because you may lose twice. You're going to lose, number one, by having dead money that's in the market doing nothing, because all you want to do is get your money back on that and move out. And the second thing is you're going to have lost opportunity. You're going to not have that money in something else that much, may do much, much better. So go over your portfolio. A great portfolio manager from Fidelity, right after Peter Lynch, he made a great statement in a conference that I was at one time. And he said that he looks at his portfolio every single day, at every stock he has in all of his different portfolios that he's running at Fidelity. And he says, I know there's a dog in there. One of the stocks in this is the greatest dog in my portfolio. Something is the biggest loser. The goal for him was every day to figure out which one it is. Find out which one the loser is and get rid of it and cut it and take the money and put it into the best idea he has. This is the same situation. Pull out your portfolio, whether you're going to do it with yourself or your advisor. Find out the dogs and find out if they're going to stay dogs or if they're going to be real great overnighters that or it changes. Some miracles are going to happen. Something's going to change that's going to make this thing move up. And then take the money out, even if it has to go in cash at 5% right now, and do yourself a big favor. Get rid of the losers and move forward. So that's all we got today. We talked a lot about just really strictly investments today. I really focused in on that. We're going to change up that in the next one, and we're going to do some answer some questions from the mailbag. Again, if you have questions, please do me a favor. Send them in at askandrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com or just go to the website at thedisciplinedinvestor.com/blog. And there is a page there that has a mailbox heading, and just write in your question and we'll be happy to answer it. I really do, really, really do enjoy answering those questions and helping out. So I hope you have a great week, and I will be here answering those questions. And don't forget, please, if you did enjoy this, do me a favor. Tell a couple of people. Tell them a couple of people about The Disciplined Investor, and make sure that you spread the word. That's the only way that we can get this thing out, and that's what I'm trying to do, is really to get the word out and to make some real good investment decisions and to give some real good advice. So until next time, I hope you have a great week, maybe shorting a couple of stocks and understanding about it, maybe even pulling out that portfolio and cutting some dogs. So I'll see you real soon. Andrew Horowitz for thedisciplinedinvestor.com.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations, and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.